Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart.
Hate the most. Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know,
here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart.
Mark in heart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
They currently have Cody Kessler on the 53-man roster as a third quarterback. Well, coming up, they play some pretty tough athletic quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes. They might face Lamar Jackson again in the Super Bowl. A guy like Kaepernick, you know, who is athletic and can run around and has a strong arm, he might be able to help them prepare. He could give them good looks in practice as the scout team quarterback. Now, that goes back to the question, is Kaepernick, would he be willing to accept that kind of role and the paycheck that comes along with it? I can't answer that question.
All right, that's Ben Volen. We are Mark and Hart on WEEI. Ben Volen was on Mustard and Johnson and talked about...
No chance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm going to go Vince McMahon.
I don't know what words you were looking for there,
I'm just going to do the Vince McMahon, no chance in hell.
The Patriots are going to take the risk for a third-string scout team quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
No freaking way.
And he wouldn't do that either, just because that's not how he's wired. I mean, he was talking at one time, the CFL, and, you know, here's the thing about Colin Kaepernick. Do I believe that he wants to play football again? Yes, I do. But I believe he loves to be portrayed as a martyr and a victim more than he wants to be an NFL quarterback. I think he understands that, listen, it's been 3 years now. I kind of need to get back in this. Otherwise, I'm just going to become, you know, the boy who cried wolf and white noise. And after a while, your message gets lost when you're not actually doing anything and pulling a check other than doing commercials for Nike. And you haven't played a sport actively in over three seasons, but no chance. I do like Ben Volen. I must say this, but Ben, you might just be trying to stir up the hornet's nest or whatever. Like, there's no, like, zero chance. Robert Kraft, I'm just going to state it. He cut Antonio Brown for a text message because that became too big of a firestorm and PR nightmare for the Patriots. You think he would bring in that three-ring circus to Foxborough? What are you, crazy?
I like Ben. I like Ben.
I do too.
We've had our disagreements, but I think generally he's not afraid
to
throw things out there, speak opinions, sort of talk about it. But this one, I think there is.
The people of Boston need me.
I don't think we need you, quite frankly. I enjoy you. I enjoy you, Ben, but I don't need you. I don't think anybody needs me either.
Right,
we're all replaceable.
Oh, absolutely.
We are all replaceable.
Yep. Just like an NFL running back, right?
Yeah.
When one guy goes, Chase Edmonds, CJ Anderson, who's been this little bowling ball that's been on 18 teams in the last 3 years. Oh, he comes and he takes over Todd Gurley and he lights up. He lights up the Cowboys last year. I mean, we're absolutely very well said. All right, back to the phone, 617-779-7937. So we're talking about the Kaepernick situation. If you want to chime in on the Myles Garrett, where we set that. Hart and I completely disagreed on that.
You want the police involved.
Well,
I look forward to that. It'll make our Saturdays more entertaining.
Well,
I'll give
here's
you that
the
much.
Thing. I'm not the only one.
There's a lot of stupid people in this world.
Well, no, listen, there's a very smart person who's in this world. Eamon, do we have the Ryan Clark sound from ESPN of him talking about the situation? And I'll be the first to tell you, and I tweeted this out right when it happened, that Myles Garrett should be arrested for felony assault with a deadly weapon. Now, lawyers can get, oh, dangerous, not deadly, whatever.
You and apparently it's also battery, not assault. Like, assault is the threat and battery is the execution or something.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
Okay, again,
I hate when people nitpick.
Right, I'm not a lawyer. Don't play one on TV or radio. Forget about
that.
You're
not on TV anymore.
Well, like, I the bottom... Andy Hart will be here all week. Try the deal.
As
futile an attempt at tenor. But he sticks up for his butt buddy Dale on the air.
Wow, I don't think he can say that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to let's hear the Ryan Clark sound.
To say this is criminal, all of the overreaction to what we've seen is disgusting to me. It's disgusting and it's irresponsible. This is not Todd Bertuzzi sucker punching Steve Moore and Steve Moore never playing hockey again. This is not that situation. This situation was started because Mason Rudolph attempted to pull off Myles Garrett's helmet.
I thought.
So Ryan, he agreed with me.
Okay, I thought he.
You got set up like Colin Kaepernick, baby.
I set Mark up, unbeknownst to me.
I thought it was the one he said that he was supposed to go to jail.
No, think again.
I'm reading the description on this cut. It says charges should be filed. It is disgusting.
Error on producer.
Well, Mark loves to blame the producer.
Error on producer. Yes.
Coffee's on me next week, Amy.
Yeah. Error on producer. Well, regardless who started it, the end of the day that Myles Garrett was the one who completely lost it, and he went nuts. And I think we started to see a different side of him. And for the Cleveland Browns, like, you need this guy. You've won two in a row. You might have some glimmer of hope of trying to make a run for the playoffs. That's gone now. You just lost your best player. He's gone. And regardless of he's gone for the year, and they said the playoffs, they won't make the playoffs. But, like, that to me, like, this, it wasn't premeditated because of the heat of the moment. I understand things get out of control, but Mason Rudolph, yeah, he was coming at him. He didn't have a helmet on. He was defenseless. Like, well, what could Mason Rudolph have done to Myles Garrett, who had not only his helmet on, but he had Mason Rudolph's helmet in his hand? He swung it. If he connected on the temple with the crown of that helmet, Mason Rudolph could be a vegetable.
Oh, no question. And okay. I do think there's a little bit of, I don't know if premeditated is the word, but there was some time there. This wasn't, you know, there was another clip making the rounds where against the Dolphins a couple years ago, somebody, I forget who it was, ripped off Richie Incognito's helmet and kind of all in one motion ripped it off and then swung back at him. This was ripped it off. Mason Rudolph wants another piece of you coming at me. I'm going to swing at him. There was a little bit of time to think about what he was doing here. And that,
yeah,
to me, makes
separated.
It a little worse. Yes.
He was separated by DeCastro and Pouncey.
Yes. So there was a little bit of time to, and I've lost my cool. I'm sure you have in life, in sports, in whatever. And you get to that burning super hot and you're not thinking. But he had a few seconds there to think. It wasn't a bang, bang play, as they would say in sports. He had a few seconds. So it's not premeditated, but it also wasn't bang, bang.
Former ESPN, I think he's on Fox Sports 1 now, Danny Cannell, he wanted to chime in on the situation.
But I think you have to take into consideration, Myles Garrett does not have a lengthy track record of dirty plays. This was more of a reactionary, you know, it shouldn't be overlooked that Mason Rudolph was attacking him. He was on the attack, and Myles Garrett was backing up when he swung it, and then he took the one swing, and then he was down.
Okay, well, I will agree. The only thing that he said that made sense there was it was reactionary, but you had enough time where, listen, at that moment, you made a conscious effort to take the helmet and swing, and by the grace of a higher power, whatever higher power you believe in, that crown of the helmet, thankfully, it did not connect with the temple of Mason Rudolph, because if it did, That's what I'm saying. Like in this situation, why I don't understand why you don't think he should possibly have charges against him just because
it's sports.
No, I know it's sports, but what if that did happen and it didn't? But, like, he's lucky the fact that it connected with the side and not the crown. Because if he connected with the crown, should he be arrested?
No. I believe this needs to be dealt with.
Well, I'll at least give you credit on your consistency, albeit idiocy.
I don't really understand. I mean, I guess if you murder him, probably. I mean, if he dies, maybe something, then you've really crossed that line because of the end result. That's the other thing here that muddies the water. He didn't, you know, some of these hockey ones, Bertuzzi and those guys, he gets knocked out, and we see that image of the just bouncing on the ice, kind of falling limp to the ice. Mason Rudolph, the reaction was, I want a penalty. I'm throwing my hands in the air. Somebody help me. And had he gotten knocked out and we see him just fall limp to the field and then the stretcher comes out and they immobilize him and all of those things, how would people look at it differently? I don't know, because it didn't happen. That's not what actually unfolded. He does a post-game press conference and says, no, I'm fine. Go watch the replay. Gets to talk about it. But the reality is there are these instances in sports. You know, what if a guy throws a punch and kills a boxer within the, whatever a round is, 3 minutes of the round?
Yeah.
It's not illegal, correct?
Nope.
What if
Boom Boom Mancini killed a boxer back in the day.
What if ding, 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 round ends, one count, two count, guy throws a punch, guy dies?
But here's
is
the thing.
Is that illegal?
No, here's the thing. In UFC and boxing, you understand that's the life. It's not in the liability where a player can egregiously take a helmet.
No,
and,
but you
and
play the bell.
No,
you
but,
don't
but,
know that
but,
somebody's going to sucker
part of the
punch
game.
You after
that's
the bell.
That's not part of the game, though. That's stupid. The point you just made. It's not
no,
part of the game.
They're all outside the actual play itself, but within the confines of the ring or the field or the sport or the league.
Okay, fair. Right. It was during the actual game, but I'm saying that you don't say, that's
did,
not
is what some, Gronk did to Tredavious White in Buffalo a couple years ago, where he speared him when Tredavious White was lying on the ground. Should they have called the cops? Did we lose Mark?
No. No, we didn't. No. But he should have been suspended 2 games.
But don't you think that should be a consideration?
Yeah, but
because it's not within the confines of the play.
Yeah, but,
you didn't
but,
sign
but,
up for that to know that no, when you're laying play over on face down on the field, a 265-pound man can spear you in the back of the head. You didn't sign up for that. There's no rule in football that allows for that.
Yeah, I can tell you this, too. I got into an argument with Wiggy about that. On that, Wiggy thought Gronk should have got a $25,000 fine, and that's when I realized that he's just this complete, total athlete apologist. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. If somebody did that to Tom Brady, and let's just say, how about this? Oh, that's another story. Oh, Shudder perished the thought of that, but what if Myles Garrett did it to Tom Brady? What do you think the react? Like, Myles
craziness.
Garrett,
absolute craziness. Would,
but
be
would
all
you agree
over
then
nightly
that Myles
news?
Garrett should be in prison?
No.
Yes. Oh, I gotta admit, even if you're wrong, you are consistent.
Well, I'm not wrong. I'm right.
You're consistent. You are consistent with your.
I believe it's called stubborn.
Yeah. Well, that too. More stupid than stubborn, but both.
Can't believe I'm taking stupid from this guy.
Yeah, but more so. Oh, by the way, from a guy, a couple. Eamon, can you back me up on this?
No, he can't. So shut up and move
no,
on.
No,
we got
no,
calls
no,
stacked
no,
up.
No, 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 no. From a guy who spelled New England wrong on a WEI blog. Yeah, you did.
Did
Eamon?
I realize?
Mark wanted me to like print it out. So yeah, he could ambush you with it.
Yeah, we have a Twitter follower, WEI typos guy, that loves to send us when we make mistakes.
That's where I got it from.
Of course you did.
Right, yes.
You're the kind of dink that would follow
how
him.
Do you, can you spell England?
Blah, 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 blah.
Mark is secretly a parody account.
You can't even spell your own name.
Spell England.
There's a K in your name.
Spell England.
When it's spelled properly, there's
a K
in your
name. Hold on. Spell England.
I know how to spell England.
You didn't on this blog. You spelled it. You spelled it E-N-G-L-N-A-D. England.
It happens.
Oh, okay.
You never type quickly and misspell things?
You know what the problem with
you probably don't know how to type. You probably hunt and peck.
No. You know what the problem with W?
I
got two masters, dude. Trust me.
I got type scripts for TV.
Hey, listen. There's this thing.
No one believes that you have two masters,
I do. So you can check with the University of Miami and University of Georgia. But besides that point, there's this thing, Andy. It came out Windows 95. It's called spell check.
No,
you never heard of it?
Crap.
Tom wow.
Brady and his wife.
Are you
out.
Really? Do you really want people to start
check.
Nitpicking your
hey,
every little mistake?
I didn't
mistake?
Spell England wrong, Englandad.
You say right, things
617,
improperly
7,
all the time.
7,
you don't
7,
know the
9,
meanings
7,
of words.
937
Englandad.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
Leave Larry alone. I can see him from here. Leave him alone. He's dozing off next door.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Hartford. Thank you for holding, Mark. What's
Mark
going on?
Hartford.
In the what's going on in the insurance capital of the world?
Well, you know, what's funny is I'm Mark in Hartford, and I'm on hold, and I've been listening to your, obviously I can hear the entire show, and I've been hearing Mark and Hart about, every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, I'm up, I'm ready
right.
to go.
You're our favorite caller, Mark and Hartford.
Yes,
right.
You are.
So, about the Colin Kaepernick situation, here's the thing. The owners don't want any part of this guy, not because of his ability. Can you imagine the debacle of the press conferences and the press? and the circus that's going to surround the guy.
That's what I said.
The problem is, we're going to ask him political questions.
Yep.
And what is he going to do? Say, I'm sorry, I am not going to speak about politics.
And Mark, let me just say this. Any place he goes to, even if it was Seattle, Green Bay, and New England, he will be the bigger story over Russell Wilson, who's having an MVP season, Aaron Rodgers, who's also a candidate for MVP, and the Packers are playing well,
right,
or the greatest of all time. You don't want that anywhere. Like I said, the only place that right now, what do you got to lose? The Bengals. That's it.
Or the Steelers. I think the Steelers are a good fit for the guy. I mean, after watching Kyle Rudolph, Mason Rudolph, Kyle Mason, or whoever.
Yes.
So anyway, that's what I want to say, Kaepernick. One last thing on the helmet, the hitting of Rudolph with the helmet. What I found kind of funny was there's 4 seconds left in the game, and he gets hit over the head with a helmet. He's lucky to be alive, and he's looking for a penalty.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's an 80-yard penalty. Well, okay, game over.
dude.
What's that penalty going to do for you?
Hey, you know what? You know what the flag should have been thrown on? The fact that he threw 4 interceptions that night. He was garbage. Absolute garbage.
Oh, the guy was horrible. I mean, he was the Kyler, was the guy for the Redskins who was horrible. I couldn't figure out who was worse than him or what's his name? Dwayne Haskins.
Careful, that's Mark's guy. Mark loves him.
Well, we'll wait to see when he gets his own coaching staff in there and they actually believe in him.
Excuses,
all right, Mark.
Excuses.
Thanks for hanging in there. Hey, Danny Dimes looked good the other night with that when they lost to the Jets and he that fumble. That was real good. He's looking really good recently, too. We'll see. Did you see that he filed for the trademark on that?
Danny Dimes?
Yeah. He filed
good for him.
Yeah, well, hey, listen.
Hey, you got to make money.
Hey,
right?
No problem.
We've learned that from everybody, whether it's, the boogeymen selling their T-shirts or whatever. You got to market yourself while you can. Those NFL careers, as a quarterback, his should technically be about 20 years from now, and he should make somewhere in the range of $400 million. But, hey, if you can sell a few T-shirts, go for it.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. Jim is up next in New Hampshire. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, just listening to the last couple of days of Garrett talk, it just strikes me, everybody wants this guy arrested, whether he deserves to be arrested or not, really goes state to state. I mean, this is not a federal offense. Battery is not a federal offense, so there's not one answer to it. I'm sure the district attorney in each of the cities that the NFL operates in would review this after the fact, and that's really where you want it to be. I mean, imagine a world where the police go out on the field and then adjudicate justice based on what they consider to be deadly force. So here we got Garrett swinging something, and a cop decides he could kill someone. What's he do, clean his gun and take the guy out? Do you really want that on Thursday Night Football?
Obviously not.
No. We already mentioned the Last Boy Scout reference. No, that was only a movie.
And by the way, if it were to ever cross the line and become a legal issue, I would want it to be considered on more of a national level, because I certainly don't want it being treated differently in all 32 NFL cities. A guy does something in Seattle 1 week. What?
It's not national.
It's actually called the National Football League. National Football League. It's the first word.
I understand that, but there are federal laws and there are state laws.
I understand that, as you would say.
Battery is not a federal offense.
Nor is football. That's the issue here. It should not be looked into by any law authority, because that would be even worse. That would be like Pro Football Focus, where they have 82 different guys score games and then give me these stats, and it's like, what are we doing here?
You mean DVOA?
Yeah. What are we doing here?
DVOA.
So can you at least agree with me,
DVOA?
Mark? If you wanted this to become a legal issue, you'd want these to be considered by sort of the similar entity. I don't know who that would be, the FBI, the whatever. It shouldn't be looked at by anybody. But as you brought up, I don't want it to be done on a political basis.
No,
some DA in Pittsburgh goes after Myles Garrett because he's on the Browns and he's going to curry favor with his fan base and get some votes out of it. I certainly don't want it to become that.
No, well, I tell you this, though. If it did take place in Pittsburgh, then it'd be interesting to think if there would be charges filed. Then he would gain popular where...
Or if it were in Montreal against the Alouettes.
Well, that could be...
they would go after him like they wanted to go after Chara, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Damian Woody, former New England Patriot, current ESPN NFL analyst, also had his thoughts, and he was on right after this incident took place, because I remember watching him on TV. He was on with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter. Here's what he had to say.
As everything was unfolding, I'm like, that's criminal. That's criminal behavior right there on the football field. And think how crazy that is for me to say. I mean, we literally, as football players, we get paid to physically assault another man. And for me to really think that action was criminal speaks volumes right there.
Oh, Damian Woody's so smart. Oh, I love that guy. Oh, he supports my agenda.
Of course.
He supports my agenda. So he's, Ryan Clark, I soured on Ryan Clark. I don't see it. But how about for Damian Woody to say that, though? Are you surprised?
I'm a little bit surprised, but you just never know how. You look at the actual act, and I agree with the premise that your first reaction is, again, I go back to Billy Madison. That's assault, brother. You know, I've never seen that before. You know, it's happened once every, 25 years in the NFL, something like that. But that doesn't mean I want it to be considered a criminal act of battery, because I just think we throw this term around. I said it earlier, slippery slope. Now we think the game stinks because they review every penalty and play on the field.
Yeah.
How would you feel if every game got reviewed and you come fine Tuesday instead of FedEx fines with players? There's charges. We have to wait for midweek. The DA in Pittsburgh has decided to levy charges against the Patriots.
Yeah, but this was an outlier.
What?
This was an outlier. This was an anomaly. This
Are you sure?
Happen. Well,
I brought up the Gronk play.
No, but
in a world where there was a precedent, if this say this case became criminal, and then the Gronk play happened after it, would that be then considered for criminal charges?
I think in the wake of this, yes, it would.
Exactly. Yep. I don't want to go down that road at all. I think it's a terrible road.
Oh, it's interesting. But
it's like the road that this McQueen did in Cars. Be all bumpy and terrible.
This was the closest thing that, the NFL has seen to the Malice at the Palace, which is what the NBA had.
But there's no fans involved.
No, I know.
When fans are involved, that's where you no longer can say, I police my own game. Well, you didn't. You have citizens who are attending your game who are not employees of your company, of your league, of your business entity that are involved in this. I need to deal with this as a legal team, as police, as a DA, whatever. Well, that did not happen in this case.
No. Thankfully for that. That was not only the lowest point, one of the lowest points in NBA history, in sports history. I mean, professional athletes. But you have to also put yourself for a second in a guy like Ron Artest's position. You're sitting there on the scores table, you're lying down, and someone throws a full cup of soda and it nails you in the face. Listen, like anything, just, you know, even the Myles Garrett thing, in the heat of a moment, you're just like, I want to find out who did it. And I'm like, you don't want it to get to that point. But at the moment, you tell me if someone did that to you, you wouldn't go after him?
No, I definitely would. If a guy had driven up on me to take a picture with me, like Myles Garrett had a couple weeks ago, I would have chased him down and beat him too, but Myles Garrett didn't beat him.
No, I mean, that's a whole different... But
I know it's a different story, but my point is he controlled his emotions in that case, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
In this case, he didn't. He lost control of his emotions. He'll admit that, I think.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
Tom Brady joins the Greg Hill Show this Monday morning after the game. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, how about those Celtics? If you stayed up last night till about 1 in the morning, couldn't sleep, so I got up and I watched the entire fourth quarter. They were down by 5 with just under 2 minutes to go. They closed the game on a 13-3 run. Big shots by Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker. Oh, hey, isn't it amazing, though, just what I said in terms of, we all knew, or at least we all thought before the season began, that the Celtics would have better chemistry with Kemba Walker than Kyrie Irving. So we all thought that, and it's proven the point. But now this team has won 10 in a row, and Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets, they're already 6 games back at 4-7. Isn't that just sweet?
It is great to watch.
Right, isn't it just sort of to see him? Oh, and just wait for it. Because it's coming. He's going to go off pretty soon at a post-game press. It is coming. Because they are one game above the Knicks right now. And that's bad. That's really bad. So they're getting near the Knicks right now with the worst record in the Eastern Conference, and I love it. I love it. The Bruins won last night, snapping their four-game losing streak. Brad Marchand had two goals, and the Bees won 4-2. They're back in action tonight at TD Garden against the Maple Leafs and Austin Matthews. Oh, the Patriots have a game tomorrow. And by the way, we know that Rex Burkhead is questionable because he's always questionable on an injury report, at least the last one. But for the Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey already out for the game along with Nigel Bradham and a guy who's questionable, Jordan Howard, their starting running back, which could be pivotal for them on offense against this Patriots defense because as the Patriots defense got gashed a few weeks ago against Mark Ingram. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Mark and Hart, back after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes.
A win's a win. I don't think it's overshadowed by and what happens in 8 seconds. You know, play a hell of a game on defense. Offense came out firing, and we held it down from there on. And what we did on, you know, the field of play for the rest of that game, for last, you know, for the first 59 minutes, you know, that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Oh, a little Pat Benatar here on WEEI, Mark and Hart. See, there, Miles Garrett does not sound at all remorseful or contrite.
No. His statement was much better. Once his reps and everybody helped him
write
the statement,
right.
He apologized to Mason Rudolph, and he said the right things.
Yeah.
Post-game, he was not great. I also need to nitpick a little bit, and I'm sure I've fallen victim to this, and maybe you even have as the great national radio host that you are, but should a color commentator on television who's making millions of dollars say, no words? No. That's literally what you're paid for.
Oh,
that's
like Aikman?
Yeah. That's like an athlete saying, well, I can't catch. I got one problem. I don't play football.
Well, yeah.
I pay you for words, Aikman.
Well,
that's the only thing I need from you is words.
as much as you cannot stand and you think Booger McFarland sucks, I will take that times 10 for Aikman.
No.
The only reason why Aikman's in that position is because he was obviously the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He won 3 Super Bowls. When I watch Aikman, he never tells me anything I don't know. If you listen to the broadcast and you watch over and over and over again, you'll listen, you'll see, like, I compare different, and I don't really think Collinsworth's great either. I love Daryl Johnston Moose. I think Moose, he tells me things, like I learn stuff by
You want to know about football, you ask a fullback, baby. Fullbacks rule the world.
But that's what I'm just saying, that, like, I think Moose is better than Aikman. Now, he wasn't the starting quarterback, he was a starting fullback. It's not as glorious a position, but I love Moose Johnston. I think Moose is, Aikman, it doesn't surprise me. That is a no words. Right. I mean, like, dude. And by the way, good catch on that, because I didn't even – I got to give Joe Buck credit for saying that's the worst thing I've ever involved on
– Well, don't go too far. Remember what the last time he said worst thing
Randy
was? Randy Moss pretending to pull his pants down.
The mooning.
Beyond words, Joe.
Oh, gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
Oh, boy.
Beyond words.
Yeah, beyond words.
Well, you're going to call it a night, Troy. We'll see you next week. Thanks for coming in today.
Why does it – do you ever notice, too, it, like, on the broadcast – not like almost every week, his eyes are bloodshot. I'm talking about Aikman.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah, well, what is that?
No words, Mark. No words.
No words. Yes,
I'm not getting myself in trouble.
Good one.
I'm not accusing him of something.
Good one.
We all can interpret that in our own way, and we'll leave it at that.
They're always bloodshot. It's
hey, listen, let me just say this. My experiences when you're on the road covering an NFL team, Saturday night is about the boys, the wings, and the beers, and I'll leave it at that.
Ah, especially when you don't have to worry about a game plan, or you just have to call the game. You don't have to,
especially when somebody else is paying for it. Usually,
yeah, that's true too. Yeah, those. Yeah, he's spending.
He probably rolls in even higher circles. So replace the beer with like some high end scotch or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't like Aikman. You just gave me another reason. I didn't even hear. I didn't even know. I just remember what Buck said, but just beyond words. Okay, how about you like actually try to articulate that for us?
Beyond words, Joe.
It's like a columnist. You say, I really need you to write about this this Miles Garrett thing.
Right. Give me 100 words.
He doesn't give you anything. That's your job. If you can't do that, then what are we doing here?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, dude, even Twitter gives you 140 characters, dude.
Joe Zarbano, I'd like to talk about this topic, but it's beyond words. Sorry, boss. I'm out.
Yes.
No. I'm going to need 4 hours out of you, Andy.
Oh, yeah. There we go. All right, 617-779-7937. And you got to love the Pat Benatar, though. That was just, that's class. I remember watching the Bruins back in the day on WSBK TV 38, and they put like a video montage together one time of Terry O'Reilly getting in fights and just pounding, and they were playing Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Oh, nice.
I don't know
if you'd get away with that this day and age.
No, you would. You know what? I asked Barry Peterson, who played with O'Reilly, and he played with Cam Neely, and I said, in a fight, who do you got? Stan Jonathan, Chris Nyland, Cam Neely, or any bruiser, or Terry O'Reilly. He said, without hesitation, Terry O'Reilly. He said Terry O'Reilly was the toughest guy he's ever seen, that he's either played with or played against. There was no one tougher than Terry O'Reilly. That dude was a brute. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. Those Terry O'Reilly days are over, even though they were great for the sport. And that's why his former coach, Don Cherry, Don Cherry didn't like the fact that fighting's been phased out of the game.
He actually brought that up in that long sit-down interview I referenced earlier. He made a comparison about the silent majority and sort of the way things are going in this world, and he said, you know, everybody will tell you, if you ask them after the game, what do you think of fighting? Oh, well, I don't know if they really need it in this day and age. He goes, but if there's a fight during a hockey game, everybody runs out of the bathroom, runs from the concession stand, and is looking at the action, banging on the boards, loving every second of the fight. So there's what they feel, what they enjoy, and then what they admit to and what they talk about.
All right, was this in terms of, I got to tell you, Albert Haynesworth stomping on that dude Garod's head, remember that?
Yes.
That to me, I have to tell you, that's probably worse.
Really?
Wait a second. Didn't the guy not have his helmet on?
He didn't, I'm being told in my ear.
So you're talking about a cleat coming down from a 360-pound man?
Yeah,
That's pretty bad.
I don't know.
What about Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan?
No, that was a fight. And that was I think, an equal playing ground. You see those out. I keep saying that. The corner versus the wide receiver where they both grab each other's face mask and then start rolling around.
And by the way, when Andre Johnson grabbed his helmet, he didn't swing it at Finnegan. He just beat the crap out of him.
Right.
Right.
All Myles Garrett had to do was toss the helmet to the side and then start swinging, and he would have got a regular suspension. It would have been a minor talking point, but it would have been a sports talking point. When he used the helmet as a weapon, that took it to the exponentially the next level.
I remember back in, when Bo was on the Raiders, Greg Townsend, number 93, got into a fight with a guy in the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe some O-lineman, and he ripped his helmet off, but he threw the helmet the other direction.
Right. Like so Kyle Turley, remember when he ripped the helmet off and threw it like 30 yards?
Right, exactly. Like that. And by the way, ripping off a helmet with that chin strap, that's not exactly something that you want to do for a day at Disney World either.
Well, we also learned, because Mason Rudolph tried to rip off Myles Garrett's helmet, that Myles Garrett has his more properly fitted and it wouldn't come off. Whereas, you know, Myles Garrett actually almost picked up Mason Rudolph by his helmet before it came off because he's a bad
dude. He you know what? In talking about time, and he just said in that post-game press conference that in the scrum that I don't think it will overshadow. 8 seconds will overshadow. You know, dude, not only 8 seconds, how about 6 game checks? Well, now you got nothing but time to think about what. And listen, he'll come this, and he'll be fine. Dude, the dude's a beast. Like, he is one of the best defensive players in the NFL. I don't want to take anything away from Myles Garrett on the field and his prowess to get to the quarterback and be a disruptor and be worthy of being a number one overall pick and not a bust like Courtney Brown or Andre Bruce or Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. You know what I mean? Like, this dude is a straight-up ball. Like, he'll win a defensive player of the year before it's over.
Assuming he doesn't get suspended. And because the other issue here for him isn't just the missed game checks, isn't just the missed time. It's now that spotlight, that focus of everything he does.
I know,
will be looked at through the lens of he's a recidivist, that he's doing this over again. Did I use that word properly? I don't know if I'm asking the guy with masters. You have no idea. You're not sure. There's no doubt in my mind that you're not sure.
You did use it. You did use it.
But he's now looked at it.
I wouldn't have an issue if you, because I'll admit, I would not have an issue with the misspelling of recidivist, because it's actually a very tough word to spell.
There's no chance I'd spell that. my theory.
But, here's the one that, no matter how many times I've looked at it in my mind, I've tried it. Krzyzewski, like Coach K.
Yeah.
Forget it.
You got to add that to your dictionary, and then you get close, and then you right-click on the little red squiggly line.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I know that works, even though I missed it once with England.
Hey, you're actually out of... You're actually the least offensive out of the errors, so I will give you that.
I appreciate that.
John in Boston. What's up, John?
Oh, hey, guys. Great show. Great opinions. Gave me a lot more to talk about than when I came on for, but I thought something that was interesting to mention, and I respect the Steelers for doing it, which is minor, but there was 4 seconds left on the clock, and they had to snap the ball to end the game, but they just walked off. So technically that game never really ended, and I can't remember the last time a team did that, except for maybe that Browns incident with the refs making them come back on the field, and I thought since then that was a rule, and I just can't remember the last time that happened.
Is that true? They didn't finish the game?
I don't think so. No,
you're wrong. You're wrong.
Because there were 8 seconds left, right, when it started?
You're wrong. The guy, there was whoever, the backup from Mason Rudolph came in, he took the snap, and that was it.
Oh, he did? I didn't see that. Yep, I thought the offense left, and then everybody else
stayed. They got everybody off the field.
Snap.
Yep, they got everybody off the field, and he came back on the field. I can't think of who it is, but I remember watching because
Devlin Hodges.
Devlin Hodges.
Yeah, you got to finish games. I mean, the famous one was
it's
that
rule,
Patriots
right?
game where they brought the Dolphins and the Patriots out of the locker room way back when in like 2000, I think, the year 2000, where everybody had left. The guys came out on the field with towels wrapped around them. They had already started the showering process. They weren't dressed anymore. They had to finish that game.
That's unbelievable. I also wanted to say that I guess they're lucky it happened in Cleveland, but I would say if that happened in New England to Tom Brady, I don't think the fans would have let the Browns leave the stadium.
No,
No. Or how about in Philly against Wentz?
Ooh, like
that crowd.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not leaving.
Or maybe the black hole to Carr.
Oh, my God. To Derek. Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, those are amazing. Thanks for the phone call. Those are really interesting hypothetical scenario. Like, wow. Could you imagine in the black hole or in Philly? Oh, it would be riot. It would be anarchy. But like I say, if he did this, I'm going to tell you right now, if he did this to Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Mahomes, you're talking that, like, there. I'm not even joking. There would be criminal charges.
Yeah, there shouldn't be. There would be much more discussion.
Listen, you're steadfast in your belief, and that so you stand your ground. But like, but that's what I'm saying is that there. It was one of the. I mean, it's Mason Rudolph. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of like. Right. But it's. But if they did it to one of the faces of the league, oh, it would be, wow. Who knows? He might be suspended next year. I mean, literally.
He still may be, by the way.
That could happen. Hey, when we come back, I want to get to the sound of Vontaze Burfict, who was suspended by the NFL for the entire season, the final 12 games, for what he did to Jack Doyle. Obviously, this is something that has been his entire career, as he's had some really dirty hits against Antonio Brown and the Steelers. But Vontaze Burfict said, hey, don't you ever, ever put me in the same breath as Myles Garrett. It's very interesting. We'll get to that next on Mark and Hart.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, back on Mark and Hart. Andy's back in Brighton. I'm at the WEI studios in Springfield inside the Basketball Hall of Fame, and had to run out to use the bathroom during the break. It's amazing when you see they have this little shrine as you walk through the halls outside the Hall of Fame, but they have Michael Jordan, a pair of his original Air Jordan worn sneakers along with his uniform from one of his first couple seasons in the NBA with the Chicago Bulls. It's like, oh, wow, well, that's kind of cool. So we mentioned Vontaze Burfict, who was speaking to The Athletic, and here's what he had to say about that incident, and I'm just going to read it to you. We don't have sound on that. He said, quote, "The NFL had to suspend somebody for that last night. Since that wasn't a football act, my suspension was a football act. I was hitting somebody. I wasn't taking a helmet off and swinging it at somebody." He talked about how he's watching the game with his two daughters, 4 and 2 years old. He turned it off after the fight, and he said, quote, "I don't want them to see that because that's not what I do. That's not part of football. I hit people on the field during the game, and they say that's dirty. Yeah, whatever. I get hit too during games, so don't complain. It's football, bro." And then when he said, they asked him about his 12-game suspension for the rest of the season and the regular season, he said, "It was bull bleep. I was making a football play. I could see if it was a fine or something, but not a suspension, let alone for the whole season. It seems kind of like there was a target on my head. I mean, there always has been a target on my head. There have been times in games when a ref is cussing at me and wanting me to cuss back at him so he can throw me out of the game. Come on, bro. I don't want to be out there playing against the refs and the opposing team." Teddy Bruschi actually backed Vontaze Burfict and said that 12-game, they really screwed him. I can't believe the NFLPA lost their appeal on this.
Well, it's his history.
Yeah, I know. I mean, track record.
Yeah, yep. That's always a part of the story, whether it's in where you want to go with these things, criminal courts, or in these leagues. And that's what I brought up earlier. Now, Myles Garrett has a significant history. So everything moving forward will be over-punished or will be looked at in a different way. And this is an interesting story. I mean, whether you want to believe Vontaze Burfict and how he looks at things, we've all viewed the things he's done. And I guess to some degree, he's done these things within the confines of the football field and close enough to the whistle or within the play that they are football acts rather than assault or battery, like we're trying to classify this Garrett situation. But we've also all seen it. I mean, I can't even think of how many times over the years you're watching Red Zone or SportsCenter and it's like Vontaze Burfict with the tackle and then he appears to twist the ankle at the end, right? These little things that alone on a singular basis, we wouldn't say anything about really, but because it's him and he does it all the time. And now everybody looks closer. I admit we look closer. You're looking for that and you look at, you paint it with a skeptical eye. But that's the reality. Once you go down this road and you get labeled as something, as a dirty player or a guy we need to watch, they're going to watch you and they're going to find things.
And I don't want to bury the lead on this. So he talked about
the commissioner.
He talked about his meeting with NFL commissioner. And he said, quote, "I met Roger Goodell in New York and he was a total bitch. He was a bitch. He didn't let anybody speak. He rushed us in and out of the meeting. The meeting was BS. He already had the suspension in his hand. Then they said they showed a video of clean plays that he made plus dirty plays against him that weren't called, that he did not retaliate. He said they don't give an F about that bleep." So and then he talked about how Derek Carr and John Gruden backed him. And he said that meant a lot to me, but the NFL didn't give an F about that bleep either. So it's interesting. And I think, that's the thing about Burfict is that you have become sort of the new Haynesworth. You're the dirty guy. You're the guy that is making, and he has. I mean, there was, I don't know if you remember this, and I don't even think it was one time. He I think prior to the NFL's mandate on helmet-to-helmet hits, you talk about, it was in the field of play during the whistle, but he literally, this would have made Jack Tatum blush what he did to Antonio Brown when he was with the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you remember that play?
There's a lot of people that think that is to blame for Antonio Brown's behavior moving forward. They think that was a vicious concussion that changed the way he, now, I think that's an excuse. I don't know if I put any stock in that, but that hit with his head just dangling out there and he targeted it. Oh. There's no question. And he's right. You can argue that that's a football play that's within the game of football. It's dirty. They're taking it out of the game. They're legislating it out of the game. But it certainly isn't ripping a guy's helmet off and then beating him with it.
No, not at all. I mean, but 12 game, but like you said, it's anything else. It's sort of the, it's just sort of the, it's your track record and your reputation that you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. And, and Myles Garrett did not, and I'll admit this, who was the one who said that about, I think it was Danny Cannell was the one who did say, or somebody said that he does not have a track record. No, because he's only been in the league for 3 years.
Right.
It was Cannell.
Now,
so it's not,
he threw a punch earlier this year that on Trevor Siemian that I forget whether it broke his ankle, broke his leg, was a football hit. People wanted to say he put a little something extra on it or whatever.
Yeah, but that's totally fine.
But you're going to get more of that now. You think people looked at that type of hit before? Now they're going to look at that twice. Whenever he gets back on the field, they're going to look at that twice as closely.
That was all Trevor Siemian's fault. He fell so awkwardly.
He did. That would be a Brady response.
Got his leg
Tom Brady knows how to fall. Jimmy Garoppolo does not.
And Patrick Mahomes doesn't know how to take a quarterback sneak.
Are you being that guy?
No, he doesn't.
He did nothing on that quarterback sneak that would have given him cause to dislocate his kneecap. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to allow you to spew that.
No. What I'm saying is that Brady knows how to quarterback sneak.
No,
Mahomes
that was bad
doesn't.
Luck. That's all that was. It was bad luck.
Well, he's back anyway, so it's not like it was something.
Because he has lax ligaments. The reason it popped out in the first place is because he's got loose ligaments. It's going to keep popping out until they fix it.
He has a special knee, like David Price's special
elbow. He's like David Price.
Elbow.
He's special. He's like me. He's special.
Well, he'll get surgery, I'm sure, in the offseason, and that'll be all taken care of. He'll get that done and whatever, and they'll fix it to where. But, yeah, I mean, Brady's never ever once had a problem on a quarterback sneak.
No.
Ever.
Nobody has. When was the last time you saw a dislocated kneecap on a quarterback sneak? I'll hang up and listen.
No, Never. It's a trick question. All right. 3 hours down, one to go. Mark and Hart, we will come back on the other side. We'll get to Patriots-Eagles, hopefully. But you still want to talk about Myles Garrett, Don Cherry, Bobby Orr's comments on Don Cherry. And, yes, the Patriots do play the Eagles tomorrow, 4:25. Both teams, if I'm not mistaken, both teams coming off a bye.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Just so, like Super Bowl 52, two weeks to prepare, and we remember what happened then.
The rematch. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. We'll get to that and much, much more on Mark and Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.